Hello, welcome to
Bad Trip Reports.
I'm Jonathan.
And I'm Amanda.
And we're the band Corbu. Today we're going to read you a trip called
Pool Party of Blood.
And this trip comes from the world of Datura. Or Datura, I've heard it pronounced, but I think it's pronounced Datura.
Datura.
Datura. Anyway, this trip is sourced from arrowwood.org, which is a wonderful resource. You should check it out. And the original trip report is linked at badtripreports.com. So here is this epic trip, in the writer's own words. This was probably the craziest drug encounter I've ever had. It was the summer after graduation, and it felt like summer in a lot of ways. I had a lot of money and a carefree attitude. One fateful day, my friend Drew and I met a friend, Jay, by chance in a park, and he told us about how his cousin had given him some strange plant, and you could apparently trip from eating it. I was up for pretty much anything, minus heroin and meth. I had vaguely heard of Jimson weed before, but wasn't very knowledgeable about it. We said sure and drove to Jay's house. First we smoked a joint, and then we divvied up the two pods between the three of us. The seeds were small, clear, and somewhat bitter. We decided we didn't want to waste any of it, so we brewed a tea with the shells and drank it. Then we peeled off the inside skins of the pods and ate that. And finally, we smoked the outer shell. Then we smoked another joint. That's a lot. During the first 20 minutes, nothing too noticeable happened. Colors seemed more vibrant, and my throat was getting dry. When I went to the bathroom to pee, very little actually came out. Jay decided we should go to a different nearby park, as his parents would be coming home soon. As we were walking to the park, I felt like I had been poisoned. I had jello legs, and my eyes couldn't focus on anything specific for very long. When we got to the park, we walked over and slumped down at a picnic table. My throat was painfully dry. We had a jug of water, which I kept drinking insatiably. I also really had to pee. I walked in a secluded area behind some bushes and tried. Nothing. Frustrated, I jello walked back to the table and our friend G was randomly there. He was driving past and saw us. As he was talking to us, he could tell we were different and lackadaisical. "Oh, I know what you guys took," he said, and he started laughing. I could barely look at him. He told us to call him later and tell him how our experience was. Jay said he had to go to the house and we thanked him for the Datura. Drew suggested we leave too, and we got in the Montero and left. Then the unadulterated insanity began. Now, note, do not drive while on Datura. Do not drive while on Jimson weed, but I think it's the same thing. Don't drive on anything, ever, because no, don't. Anyway, we left around 4 p.m. We pulled up to Drew's house around 9 to 9:30 with no memory of what had happened in between 4 o'clock and 9 o'clock. No memory at all. Anyway, as we pulled into Drew's street, we noticed a lot of our friends' cars were lined up around his house. There appeared to be a party going on. We assumed it had something to do with Drew's brother. As we pulled into his driveway, the neighbor's cat ran out in front of us. We felt a bump and knew Drew had just run over the cat. He felt really bad about it. That's why you don't drive on Jay. That's why you don't drive. Anyway, we walked inside, and sure enough, there's a party going on.
They didn't check on the damn cat.
They didn't even check on the cat. Oh, I think the cat was just,
right,
I know.
Now.
I think the cat was just
right
dead.
I can't.
There were a bunch of high school kids. Corbu disapproves of this moment in the story. Anyway. We like cats and conscious beings, and they don't deserve to die because you wanted to drive. Anyway, we walked inside. And sure enough, there's a party going on. We see about 20 of our friends and strangers drinking, laughing, and being loud. Drew excused himself and went to his room, as he still felt bad about the cat. I was talking with some friends, and I noticed my friend Preston was crying blood. It looked like eyeshadow, a blood circle around his eyes. It was horrifically bizarre, and he looked like he was in pain. "Are you okay?" I asked, and he just stared at me with an almost evil gaze, blood dripping from his face down to the floor. I saw grotesque people I didn't recognize who looked like Sloth from the Goonies, but not in a comical way at all. They looked deformed, bruised, beaten, and burned as they shuffled around the house. Some were laughing maniacally, some crying, others just staring. It was unsettling, to say the least. Things were also painted on. It was like a dream, and the 3D world was irrelevant. There were burnt cigarettes and tacks sticking sharp side up on the ground, and bizarre-looking plants pasted to the walls and doors. I then saw people with beet red skin crying blood. They looked like what you would expect demons to look like every fairy tale or myth or religious text makes them out to be. None of this seemed particularly odd to me at the time. I was confused about who they were, but wasn't gripped with fear like I probably would have been if I was sober. Some of these entities were having passionate, crazy sex in the back room, but they didn't look as if they were actually enjoying themselves. I kept hearing the sound of doors slamming. Drew came down to see what I was up to, and our friend Preston started talking to both of us. "You guys are late. We were waiting for you," he said. Drew told him we didn't know there was a party. "Where's Kyle?" I asked. Kyle is Drew's brother. "I haven't seen him yet," Preston replied. We talked, just the three of us, for a couple minutes, and then Drew excused himself to the bathroom. He couldn't pee the entire time either, and our throats were probably the driest they'd ever been. It hurt to swallow. Then I met the spirit of the plant, Queen Tolosh, as she's known indigenously and shamanically. She was pale, not just albino pale, but literally with a skin tone like the moon, and imperious. She is also fond of tricks. I talked to her for a bit, though I won't share the conversation, as I feel that doing so is disrespectful. I sat on the floor, still noticing the tacks, which shimmered in my peripheral vision. My friend Chloe walked in through the kitchen, looking frail, beaten, and toothless. She explained that a group of people had just beaten her. I looked over at a towel and a clear cylinder on the table, only I didn't see the towel. I saw a talking head, and this head was Chloe's. She was crying hysterically, and Tolosh told me to give her a hug, which I did. I was literally hugging a beach towel in plastic. "Oh my God, Sam, what the fuck?" she gut-wrenchingly yelped, and then started crying. At this point, I honestly didn't know what to do, but my bladder felt like it was going to explode, so I said I'd be back and went downstairs to the bathroom. Drew's mom was playing solitaire on the computer and said hello to me. Parents.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I waved and went into the bathroom. Chloe was sitting in the corner of the ceiling laughing with a scary laugh. When I walked to the toilet, she was standing in my way. "Chloe, can you please move? I have to pee like a racehorse." She just stared for a second and laughed. "Chloe, if you don't move, I'm going to pee on you." She laughed again, louder. So that's what I tried to do. Again, almost nothing came out, but I did feel better. I went back upstairs. My dad was there randomly. He opened the front door and said, "Come on, kids, let's go." I wasn't expecting to see him there at all. "I'll meet you in the car." "All right," I thought, and went outside. He was nowhere to be found. I did see my friend Tom, though, in an orange car parked right outside. He beckoned me to get in. I couldn't. The door was locked. He kept waving me inside. "I can't," I said. Then Tom started laughing, and this irritated me. "Forget it," I shouted at him. I was confused where my dad went, so I sat by myself on the curb. The house across the street has a wood stovetop chimney on the roof. But I saw someone committing suicide by hanging himself instead. It was like an animated GIF. When my eyes moved at all, it would reset. When they stayed focused, the man walked off the roof with a noose and hung there, waving in the breeze. I should have mentioned this earlier, but all straight lines shook like an episode of Dr. Katz. Everything flickered, actually, like I was witnessing the erosion of time. I'd seen that kind of thing before while on strong acid, just the lines, not anything else. I look next to me, I'm still on the curb, and my friend Mike is by my side. "What's your problem, man?" he asked. "I honestly don't know, dude," I said. "I took this plant earlier, and now I can't tell exactly what's going on." He looked at me quizzically. "That's fine and all, and that would be a good excuse if you weren't being such an asshole right now." I felt like I was an asshole, ruining everyone's time, and I didn't know why. I glanced at Drew's Montero and saw probably the scariest thing out of this whole experience. There was a pale creature with no eyelids, with the most piercing stare I've ever seen in my life, sitting in the front passenger seat. His head was shaped almost like a shark, pointed at the top. He had no lips and sharp, shark-like teeth. In fact, it looked exactly like the Hellraiser character Butterball, minus the sunglasses and paler. Just like in the movie, he said nothing. I'm fairly confident Clive Barker has taken Datura before after going through this experience. This powerful entity was the only one I could not look at straight in the face. I tried avoiding his gaze the entire time. I looked at a tree in the front yard. I could see a ghostly essence in the tree itself. Actually, I could see the essence of all plant life. Chloe was right by that tree, falling over. I rushed to go help her, but she was painted on a tall piece of dead grass, blowing flimsily in the wind. I needed to pee again. I went inside through the garage, and somehow Chloe had beaten me there and was crying on a coat rack. "I don't want to live anymore," she cried, and it was apparent to me that she was hanging herself. "Chloe, no," I said sorrowfully and reached to bring her down. It wasn't Chloe, it was just a coat. I put the coat back and entered the kitchen. Kyle was there. "Yo, Sam, how's it going?" I actually thought about that question and laughed. "I don't know, how are you doing, Drew?" I asked this to a piece of paper, which I thought was Drew, blowing from the fan. Kyle looked at me like I was the biggest dumbass in the world, and I don't blame him one bit. I went to the upstairs bedroom, and the light didn't work. I went to the upstairs bathroom, and the light didn't work. The darkness seemed to make the vision stronger. The toilet seat was swirling, and it was fairly hypnotizing. I also saw what looked like a ghost or a shadow creature on the floor next to the toilet, outlined by translucent silver. He was completely two-dimensional and appeared to be asking for my help, though I couldn't actually hear anything he was saying. I finally peed, at least more than I had yet, and felt so much better, though I felt sorry for the shadow creature.
Let's hope he peed in a toilet, because it's hard to make sense of reality right
now. Yeah, well, before when the girl was on the ceiling, he kind of made it sound like he peed on her, so like, did he pee on the ceiling?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Go back.
Anyway. So it was kind of a dusty bathroom, so he feels sad for the shadow creature that's in the floor. It was kind of a dusty bathroom, and there were glowing insects attracted to the dust. They looked like ants, mini spiders, and other insects which probably don't exist, and they looked bioluminescent. I put my finger on the ground and let one crawl onto my finger. I examined it more closely, and its movements were exactly like a bug's would be. It had feelers and was feeling me. I clamped my fingers together lightly, and the insect crumbled like dust, its legs floating in a spiral to the ground. I went back downstairs, and Tolosh, still on the couch, asked, "Did you see the life upstairs?" I like that the deity is like hanging on the couch. I nodded. I looked around, and demons and deformed burn victims were all walking around, still walking around nonchalantly. I went upstairs into Drew's room to see how he was doing. He was watching TV with Mike. Then we noticed the neighbor's yard via the window. It too was bizarre. There was a four-legged dog creature, very large and very black, with glowing red eyes, sitting on what looked like a throne on the side of a swimming pool. There were a lot of people basically having a blood orgy, and massive amounts of steam was rising from the water. There were also dead squirrels which littered the ground, and all throughout the branches of a large tree were squirrel tails, hanging like evil Christmas ornaments. I later found out that the dog is the second spirit associated with Datura, or second half, depending on perspective. He's sometimes known as the guardian or protector, and he protects Tolosh. He noticed us and beckoned us to come join them beyond the fence. Drew grabbed his binoculars and scoped out the scene. People were still having insatiable sex through the mist. However, with the binoculars, he saw everything in grave detail. I could see the hair on this demon dog, and the squirrel tails, and everything in clear, high-definition detail. Me and Drew saw the same thing. Drew left to get a closer look, the dog and associates still beckoning us in. Drew went to the fence line, as I stayed upstairs with the binoculars, watching. Drew almost jumped the fence to join them, but I tapped on the window and shook my head. He came back up. We were tired and wanted to go to sleep. Drew has bunk beds and Mike called the top bunk. I said fine, but asked that he at least give me my sleeping bag. He said no, just give him his sleeping bag, Mike, Drew said. No. I tried pulling it from him, but to no avail. Annoyed, I gave up, went to the guest room to try to sleep, as a spy versus spy creature watched over me, which was very unsettling. I didn't actually sleep and got up around 7:30. I decided to read up on Datura. Only when I got to the computer to do so, I couldn't read any text. My vision was okay, but when I tried reading text smaller than billboard size, it was out of focus. This lasted for two more days, And during this time, I thought I was never going to be able to read again. Same with Drew. In fact, the trip lasted for 3 days, and the residue of it, like my eyes playing tricks on me, lasted for almost 2 weeks. I'll summarize a bit. Everyone was worried about us, and they thought we were never coming down. To be fair, neither did we. We saw Dr. Seuss creatures in trees, elves, gnomes, dwarves, this must be the next couple days, pixies, demons, golems, all kind of mythical, demonic, spiritual creatures. And everything Drew saw, I saw, and vice versa. We ran over a ghost with a car. Hopefully it was a ghost.
Wasn't the cat?
Not another cat. Digital clocks would make...
Did they really hit the cat?
They really hit the cat.
Are we sure?
We don't know. No, we can't be sure.
Yeah, well, I guess we don't know.
Digital clocks would make Tamagotchi? Is that word? Tamagotchi-like animations? Okay. It looked 8-bit. The auditory hallucinations did stop after the first night, and the visuals mostly after the third night. On the third day, me, Drew, and a group of our friends went into a gazebo in a garden to smoke. I saw gnomes having sex in the trees. Little creatures would slowly bring antennas up out of bushes, and whenever Drew and I would compare what we saw, our friends were like, "That's not fucking there, stop it." A train went by. We weren't that far from the tracks, and an obese naked woman was having sex with a tree just outside the garden. Every time she went down, the train blew its horn. The train was actually there, our friends acknowledged that. It was uncanny. She would stay down for 3 seconds, and the train would blow for 3 seconds. This experience has made me think about it every time I hear a train. Okay. I ran into Jay a few days later, and he thought we'd never left. He hung out with us all throughout the night. Also, amazingly, Drew's parents, who were actually there the entire time, had no idea we were on anything. I don't know how. We were talking to people who weren't there, basically in front of them. We were very lucky in that respect. Afterthoughts. First of all, this is his afterthoughts. First of all, I'd like to say, do not take Jimson weed. 99.99% of everyone should never take this. It's all too common for someone to get arrested or end up in a psych ward or even get shot from walking into someone else's house, not knowing what's going on. It's also very easy to be poisoned to death. People have died from it before. Also, you will be tested by the spirits, and if you fail, there can be dire consequences, particularly with the protector wolf. It's not a pleasant high. In fact, there is no high. I felt completely normal despite the craziness I witnessed. It was kind of amazing I remembered taking anything at all, which isn't common. I didn't really think twice about what I was seeing, just like I don't in a dream. This is clearly a negative plane of existence. I don't know if I believe in hell, but if there is one, then this realm is surely some kind of has some kind of connection to it. Also, it's been said that Datura seeks you out, not the other way around. I deeply believe this is true, and I believe that it found me intentionally. I think Jay and Drew were just caught in the crosshairs. To say that this is all in our minds is hard to justify. We interacted with people who weren't there simultaneously, witnessed the same things, and saw in extreme detail clearer images through binoculars. I omitted much of what happened, largely because of length, and largely because much of what I experienced I consider sacred, particularly some of the conversations. Tolosh still visits me periodically in my dreams. All in all, I'm glad I experienced this, as I learn much, particularly about the nature of reality and realities. Datura.
Wow.
We're going to talk about this in a minute after a word from our sponsor, Korbu.
AKA us.
Okay, so what'd you think?
Was the cat there or not?
We don't know. They ran over a cat. They ran over a ghost.
If you wrote this and you happen to watch this, please let us know. I'm going to say that the cat was not there.
I mean, there were 5 hours missing.
I think.
They drove around. Like, where?
Maybe they drove. Who knows? Maybe they just sat in a car. Did they even have a car? Because they walked to the park. The whole thing is like, I don't know.
It's a specific car, though. It's a Montero.
I don't know what that is.
I don't know what that is either. Apparently, it's a car.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I would love to read or know more about Datura.
You want to take it?
No, that's okay.
Yeah.
I'll skip that one. It has not sought me out, so I think I'm good.
That's fair. There's something...
It's intriguing. I would never want to do it, but it is very interesting.
It's scary how long it lasts. It lasts for days. They all say that.
That's what's crazy.
Days. Remember the other one the guy said he couldn't see straight for days. I was saying the only way I would consider doing it is if I could ascertain that it had no actual ill effects to my health, and I was in like a white padded room where I guess someone would feed me somehow. But like, it's like if I could have no interaction.
Yeah, you would need like a serious ultimate trip setter for that.
Yeah. Like you would have to be in a mental hospital basically.
Yeah, I feel like because if you take it without somebody watching you, you will end up in a mental hospital or dead.
Maybe. Or you'll at least really piss people off.
Oh my God. Like, I wish I knew what neighborhood they were in.
I know.
Or what state. Or anything. Sorry. Yawn.
Yeah, I don't even know what else to say about Datura. It's just the craziest ones.
Great stories.
They're always funny.
I can't believe they're real.
They're the funniest ones. But they're like, you wouldn't want to live through them. At least I wouldn't. Because I wouldn't want to have any of the consequences of any of that stuff. You know?
Yeah.
But they're like, there's always a trickster comedic thing to them. Like, and then this happened. And then this happened. That you don't really get with the other ones as much.
Interesting.
Yeah.
We will be reading more of these.
Yeah.
You will be reading more of these to me.
Okay.
And them.
So if you want to hear more bad trip reports from us, we premiere them every Wednesday night on Twitch. We stream every Wednesday night on Twitch. We make music and we hang out with our friends. We can hang out with you, and you can tell us what to do, what music to make, etc. It's really fun.
Also, check out my playlist on Spotify I made for trips. It's called Trip Support. It's really to kind of put on as you're coming up and you're going into your trip. I've only used it with mushrooms for myself and others. If you're not feeling a song, skip it. It's good vibes. It will lead you into a good trip if that's what you're looking for. I can't guarantee that it will keep you on a good trip, but it will at least...
It steers you the right way.
Yeah, it's a good steerer.
Yeah.
Is that a word?
Steerer?
Driver.
Driver. That's a word.
Support.
So check out that playlist, follow it. There's a link at badtripreports.com, and we're trying to do more of Bad Trip Reports. So please follow this podcast, subscribe to it, leave us a review, all the things. We'll see you soon.
See you around on the internets.
Submit your bad trips and listen to the Bad Trip Reports soundtrack by Corbu at badtripreports.com.